Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time that we might hear and meditate upon your word. Let it be known that it is not the speaker's word. It is not exactly what is said, but is the meaning, the understanding that each one of us take away. And that is your small voice, your voice leading us, guiding us, giving us direction. And Father, we thank you for that very thing. We just ask now that we might open our heart and open our minds and open our ears and hear what you are saying. Father, I thank you for the privilege of handling your word. And I pray that I might be able to do it with respect, with honor. And I pray that I would allow you to speak as to what you would have said. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. Amen. I want to read you a letter from a firm kid who is now in training at San Diego Marine Corps Recruit Barracks. Dear Ma and Pa, I hope you're well. I am. Tell Brother Walt and Brother Elmer that the Marine Corps sure beats working for Old Man Mill down the road. Tell them both to join up real quick before all the places get filled. I was restless at first because I had to stay in bed till 6 o'clock in the morning. But he said, I'm getting used to sleeping in now. Tell the boys that all you do before breakfast is smooth your cot and shine your boots. There's no hogs to slop, no feed to pitch, no mash to mix, and no wood to split. Nothing to do at all. Men, they've got to shave, but it's not too bad because there is warm water. Breakfast is strong on trimmings, like fruit juice, cereal, eggs, bacon, etc. But it's a little weak on chops, potatoes, ham, steak, fried eggplant, pies, and other regular food. But tell the boys that if they sit between two city boys, and all they do is live on coffee, the food they don't eat, you can have, and you can survive till they feed you again at noon. These poor city boys, they can't walk much. We go on route marches, and the platoon sergeant, he says that long walks are to harden us up. And if he thinks so, who am I to tell him different? A route march is about the same as a walk down to our mailbox at home. Then the city guys, they get all tired and sore feet, and we go back in trucks. The country's nice, but it's awful flat, and there's no tall mountains to climb. The sergeant is like a school teacher. He nags a lot. The captain is like the principal. He just goes around making things up for us to do. The major and colonel, well, they ride around and frown a lot, but they don't bother you none. The next story will really kill Walt and Elmer, because I keep getting shooting awards. I don't know why. The bullseye is near about as big as a chipmunk's head, and it don't move. And it doesn't shoot back at you like the Hegarty brothers at home. All you got to do is lie there, all comfortable, and hit the target. You don't even have to load your own cartridges. They come in a box. Then they have what they call hand-to-hand combat training. You have to be careful. We get to wrestle with them city boys, but you have to be careful because they break real easy. It ain't like fighting the old bull at home. I'm about the best they got in this unit, except for Tug Morton, who is over at Silver Lake. I've only beat him a couple times. He joined up about the same time as I did, but I'm 5'6 and 130. He's 6'8 and 300. Be sure to tell Walden Elmer to hurry and join before other fellas get into this setup and spoil it all. Your loving daughter, Gail. Have you ever taken a real good look at your life and realized just how wonderful it is? Even the situations you happen to be in, whether they're good or whether they're bad, it doesn't matter. But we have a pretty great life. And if we really look at things, we can even make it better. You see, when the soldier Saul traveled down the road to Damascus, and he met Jesus Christ on that road, Saul was on a mission. He was out to destroy Christianity. He was going to put this foolishness to rest once and for all. And he was going to destroy all that he could because he was a soldier and he had a commission and he had a job to do. And it was his job to be the best he could. So that was Saul. But when he met Jesus Christ on that road, and Christ reached out with his light and turned Saul into Paul, his life changed entirely. It was at that time that Paul realized he had a new commission. He had a whole new life that he was going to try and live by. And he was going to try and be the best soldier for Christ that anyone could ever be. You see, Paul developed an unquenchable thirst, an unquenchable appetite for living like and living for Christ himself. Paul became committed to his new commission, and his life became consumed by his faith that he was about to try and start and develop in the faith of his Christ. So much so that he constantly landed in trouble with the officials of the Jewish faith. The letter to the Philippians, as well as the Galatians, Philemon, and Ephesians, were written by the Apostle Paul. And they were all written while he was in prison, in a Roman jail. For 2 years, he was stuck down in a dungeon, a dirty, wet, cold, old dungeon. Yet he was able to write the inspirational scriptures that we read today. And you see, he wasn't there because he had broken any laws. He was there because when he spoke in the courtyard, or when he talked to a group of people, any group of people that would listen to him, when he spoke with such passion that it really bothered the Jewish faith. It really bothered the leaders and the people of instruction. They couldn't stand that, so they took him and they threw him in jail. It's the only thing they figured they could do for him or with him at that point. He was imprisoned because of his faith. Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not destroyed, struck down, but not abandoned." Paul had developed a faith that gave him the strength to withstand all things. And he believed that no matter what his plight, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ was within him. And they would keep him, and that would keep him going, and no man-made obstruction would stand in his way. I have a question that I've asked myself many times, and I ask you today, If there was a law about being against being a Christian, would there be enough evidence in our lives to condemn us? I ask that every day because I find that quite often I get away from where I should be. Is your faith strong enough to stand up to social persecution? Is our faith strong enough to withstand criticism? Is our faith strong enough to grow? The Apostle Paul in his text is very clear that he believes he's on a journey. He believes that in the faith that he has, he is traveling to where God wants him to be. And he is traveling to where God wants him to do. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. He was not satisfied with a faith that just got him by. He was not satisfied with a faith that just, you know, it was enough. No. Paul was going to make it very clear to himself and to everyone around that his faith was the faith of his life. And he was attaining to strive forth to come to what Christ had taken hold of him for. Philippians 3, verse 10, Paul writes, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing his suffering and becoming like him in death. You see, to Paul, his faith wasn't just a walk down the main street past the coffee shop and into the grocery store. His faith was to share to the next door neighbor, a man who has lost his wife and couldn't understand why, and he was angry. Or his faith was to share with a young girl who had two hungry mouths at home to feed and no money. And he had to be strong enough, and he had to be diligent enough to stand out and make those people understand what faith really was. Charles Swindoll writes a story on the forward movement of the Apostle Paul. And in that article, he asks a question. And again, another question that I stop and ask myself. Why did you become a disciple of Christ? Did you grow up in the church and it seemed to be one of those things that you should do? Or was there an example that you liked, a person that inspired you and you felt you should? Or was there something going on in your life and you met Christ at the cross and he melted your heart? You see, Christ has walked with us. And Swindoll asks, is your faith in Jesus Christ visible enough to help those who are in need or help those who need instruction? A minister was working in his backyard, building a fence. He'd been working away for a while, and all of a sudden he just happened to notice over in the corner there was a young lad standing watching him. And the young lad just never said anything, never moved. He just stood there and watched. So the minister was a little upset about this at the beginning, and then he thought, well, no. Maybe the young lad's admired by the way I work, and I want to see what he wants to know what I'm doing. So the minister looked at him and said, are you trying to understand how I'm building this fence? The young lad said, no. The minister said, are you trying to figure out how to run this equipment and you see me doing it, so you want that inspiration? He said, no. The minister said, well then, why are you standing there watching me? The young lad stood for a minute, and he said, well, he says, I want to hear what the minister says when he hits his finger with a hammer. You see, we're led by the Holy Spirit. And when we were led by the Holy Spirit, we opened our lives for Jesus Christ to enter. And we embarked on the same journey that Paul was on. A journey of striving to achieve a faith in Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ wants us to have. A faith strong enough to endure the troubles of life with the assurance of comfort. A faith powerful enough to face the uncertainties of life and know that we don't have to face them alone. A faith comforting enough to know that when God calls us home, we have a place to go to. We have a place that is waiting for us, that we can go home and to spend our eternity with Him. Someone once wrote, "Faith is a bridge that takes you from where you are to where God wants you to be." So I ask you a question again. Is the faith that brought you here this far strong enough to make you move on? To help you cross that bridge? Not sure where you're going. Not sure where you're going to what's going to happen. But strong enough to help you take that next step. Charles C. West wrote, "When we turn to God for help, when our foundations are shaking, only to find that it is God that is shaking our foundations." That kind of makes you stop and think. 2 weeks ago, I had a visit with a good friend of mine here in town, a local businessman. He told me how busy he was. And he told me that he was really, really struggling with his business at this point. He also told me that he and his wife had just separated 3 or 4 months ago. And his wife ran the office for him. She did all the billing, all the paperwork. And he knew that when he needed her help, she was always there. But unfortunately, they had separated. And in his words and in his interpretation, she had turned a little sour, so he was now faced with a lot of legal information and a lot of legal papers from her. And this was really driving him crazy. He stopped for a second, and then he said, and not only that, he said, "My yard man, the man that's been working for me now for 20 years, he knows this business inside out sometimes better than I do. He went in the hospital last week for stomach operation and wound up with complications. So he's off now for 2 months. 2 months of my busiest time of the year." He stood there and he said, "You know," he said, "I'm all alone. I have no office help. I have no yard help. But the customers keep coming. My business is flourishing." But he said, "I haven't had a drink yet." You see, my friend was a raging alcoholic. And his bottle was his best friend. And not too many years ago, he went to a camp meeting one night by accident. And he met Jesus Christ at that camp meeting. And he changed his life. And in faith and in strength, he has grown to be an entirely new person. And he believes that his faith is carrying him through. And when I told him that little quote about we turn to God when our foundations are shaking and it's God that's shaking, he just shook his head and walked away. He couldn't answer me. But his faith is taking him through. As I said before, faith is a bridge between where you are and where God wants you to be. And Jesus Christ came to this earth so that he might live and die for our salvation. He might live and die that when we follow him and when we turn to him and grow our faith in him, we have a place to go when the time comes. We can face the struggles of life. We can face the sin and frustration that we live in because we know that he walks with us. 2 weeks ago, during our anniversary service, we were challenged with a question. And that question was, where do we go from here? How are we going to deal with the uncertainties we face? Well, I've given it some thought. And I've come up with an answer. Not the answer by any means, but an answer. I believe the people of St. Paul's Presbyterian Church are on a journey. We are crossing the bridge of faith from where we were to where God wants us to be. We are growing stronger. We are becoming more resilient. We are striving to seek God's hand in our crossing. But most of all, and this goes for everyone in this room and everyone that's connected with our church, but most of all, we have opened ourselves to a growing faith in the presence of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. We have opened ourselves to a faith that we don't know. We have reached an understanding of what we cannot see. We have found a peace in a future we also don't understand. Faith has become more than a daily routine. Faith has become the foundation of our congregational being. And we are collectively taking that journey from where we were to where God wants us to be. Paul wrote, "I press forward toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me forward in Jesus Christ." Our prize here is strength, resilience, confidence as a church, and also the assurance of personal salvation. All because we have opened our lives to let the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ in. To let the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ take us from where we were, closer to where he wants us to be.